1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1 tonight. We'll finish the chapter. And we saw at the beginning of the chapter that this is all about declaring the person of Jesus Christ, declaring His salvation, letting us know that we can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to hope. We can know for sure. Then last week we were reminded how important it is that we walk in the light. If we're saved, we're already in the light, but God wants us to walk in the light so that we might have fellowship one with another and with Jesus. He finishes the chapter by reminding us that the only way we can walk in the light as Christians is if we keep short accounts with God. If somebody were to say, well, give me the top 10 most important verses for Christians, this would be in the list. Verse 9, 1 John 1, 9 for Christians. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is written to Christians. This is not written to the lost. But tonight we're going to talk about 8, 9, and 10. So 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So the title of the message is Confess Our Sins. Lord, I pray for Your wisdom, for Your presence, that You would work miracles in our hearts through Your word this evening. Thank You for the privilege to be here in the middle of the week and open Your word together. We love You and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, did you notice the two different phrases in verse 8, have no sin, and then in verse 10, have not sinned? Those are two different things, aren't they? So, if we say that we have no sin, that is obviously speaking to the world. There are many out there who don't believe there's such a thing as sin, or that they've actually committed a sin. It's shocking, but it's true. If we say that we have no sin, God says we're deceived, and the truth is not in us, because the truth, the Word of God, reveals that we have sinned. That we are actually born sinners. The Bible says all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody is a sinner. We all have sinned. Praise God, when we get saved, that gets dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if we have this attitude that we have no sin, we can't even get saved. Well, why do you even need to be saved if you haven't sinned? Right? What are you getting saved from? but the Bible says that we've all sinned, that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, there's our filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. And then there's a verse in Proverbs I'd like to show you where Solomon, the wisest man outside of Christ that lived, wrote a similar statement that there would be a generation who had this attitude about sin. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. Notice it says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Solomon wrote this in his book of Proverbs. A generation that's pure in their own eyes. We find ourselves in the midst of that generation today, do we not? To where basically man doesn't feel like he's accountable for his behavior anymore. He's definitely not accountable to God, but like we're talking about in our counseling class, there's all the blame shifting going on. It's not my fault. It's the way I was raised, blah, blah, blah. It's just the way I am. Pure in their own eyes, but the Bible says if we have this attitude about sin, we're deceived. We must be willing to accept the truth that we have sinned. We are actually born sinners. We are sinners by nature. And see, these are two different things. Have no sin and have not sinned. So, it's the chicken and the egg thing. Do we sin because we're sinners or are we sinners because we sin? The answer is, we sin because we're sinners. We are sinners by nature. We are born sinners and that's why we sin. That's completely different from the way the world understands it. So that is the first point he's trying to make is we're all sinners. Now, he then goes on to reveal this great truth. If we confess our sins. Confession is such an important part of the Christian life. You know, even in the Old Testament, we see the example of Achan. Remember when he stole the things, when they went into the city of Ai and disobeyed God's command, and then they lost the battle because of it, and God helped them to find who had committed the sin. And just before he got killed for his sin, Joshua said, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession." So he said that confessing brings glory to God. Why is that? Well, because it's admitting that God is right and we are wrong. You know, the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy," in Proverbs 28:13. So confession, Old Testament, New Testament, is so important because we know these truths. Isaiah 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's true for Christians. If we come to God with sin that's not been confessed, we're hindering our prayers. We must confess our sin. We must keep those short accounts with God. The Bible says if we confess it, look what he says. He is faithful. I love that. He is faithful and just. The forgiveness of God is not based on us, it's based on Him. Never forget that. I have people say to me sometimes, "You know, I can't keep bringing this same sin to God. I keep stumbling in the same area." And I just take them to this verse and say, it's not based on you, it's based on God. He is faithful. And how deep does the faithfulness of God go? How high does it go? How strong is it? The faithfulness of God is the well upon which His forgiveness comes, and therefore, there's no limit. It's based on His faithfulness. Praise the Lord for that. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, God has already forgiven us our sins in relation to heaven. We understand that. And again, in 1 John, you're going to see this bouncing back and forth between the doctrinal and the experiential. But this is not talking about the doctrinal. This is talking about the daily sin. Like we mentioned last week, where Jesus washed His disciples' feet, and Peter said, "At first, don't do it." And then Jesus said, "You need me too to be part of us." And he said, "Well, then wash my whole body." And Jesus said, "If you're already clean, you only need your feet washed." He was teaching them that if you're already clean, you're still going to get dirty in the world. And as we walk around this sinful world, we get dirty. We need to clean that off every day. We actually need to clean it off every hour through confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Notice verse 12 of chapter 2. He says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake." How beautiful is that? Again, the forgiveness of God is not based on man. It's based on the nature of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then it goes on to say, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we mean when we talk about keeping short accounts with God. We need to stay clean. That doesn't mean we're perfect and holy. That's not possible until we get to heaven. But it does mean we stay clean. That when we do sin, we bring it to God. Every time, no matter how often, no matter how many, we keep those short accounts with God so that we can maintain that sweet communication and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If we don't do this, then they become a hindrance. And that fellowship isn't sweet. Now it's hindered. So we have to be ever so careful to confess our sins, that He might forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember verse 7? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This verse 9 is just so important for Christians. We must maintain this sweet connection with our Heavenly Father through the power of confession. And so verse 9 says if we believe that basically we don't have a sin nature, we're wrong. The truth's not in us. Then we're told the importance of confession for the Christian life. And then verse 10, that's talking about whether or not we actually commit sins. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Did you notice in both cases it says, verse 8, the truth is not in us. Verse 10, the word is not in us. Because it's the word that reveals to us that, number one, we are a sinner, and number two, that we sin. I mean, how do we know that we sin? How do we even know what a sin is? The Word of God. The Word of God tells us what God's laws are. So when we break those, we've committed sin. The Bible refers to it as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's through the Word that we find out that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. It's through the Word, as we're in it every day, that we as Christians are rebuked by the Holy Spirit about sins in our life so that we can confess them. So when we get alone with God, we get into the Word, the Holy Spirit applies it to our heart, points areas out. It's like a mirror. We're told in James chapter 1 that says, here's a sin. You need to deal with this sin. Here's another sin. You need to deal with this sin. And so the Word not only reveals that we are sinners, but it reveals that we have sinned. Notice, let's go to James 1 and we'll see the mirror illustration from God's Word, or about God's Word. James chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it's going to reflect back what we truly are. And God says when that happens, we need to acknowledge it. Not walk away and say, no, I don't want to know what I saw. We need to say, yes, Lord, I see that. I need to deal with it. I need to confess it. I need to make it right with you. And so if the devil ever gets us to a point where we believe that we have not sinned, verse 10, we're in trouble. The Bible says the Word is not in us. Now, there is a group out there that it's a small group of Christians who believe that you can reach this point of sinlessness as a Christian. I don't find that in the Word of God where that ever is possible. I find the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 acknowledging his own wickedness. One of the greatest men that ever lived wrote an entire chapter about his own struggle with sin. I find the disciples admitting they were sinners. I don't find in the Bible where we ever reach the point where we are sinless on this earth. It's just not there. But we have passages like this that say if we ever think that we've not sinned, the Word's not in us. We're wrong. We need to wake up. And this is all of our sins. Go to Psalm 90, if you would, in verse 8, where the Bible makes it clear that God isn't just talking about our outward sins, the obvious things that we do with our bodies, but also the sins of the heart, the sins of the mind. Notice Psalm 90, verse 8. God says here, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. There are no secret sins with God. He knows. He knows every idle word, as Jesus said. He knows every thought. He knows every time we don't do what we should do. He knows it all. And one of the missions of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, as the one who indwells us, is when we open the Word of God, because we're not the natural man anymore, when we open the Word of God, he takes it and he shows us. There's an area in your life that needs improvement. There's an area in your life that needs work. You need to confess it. You need to ask God for help. You need to repent. You need to get it right. Pride is a dangerous thing, even for Christians. And if we ever get to the point where we think we're a good Christian, i.e. have not sinned, we're right where the devil wants us, and the Word is not in us. So never feel like you've arrived, because you haven't. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. We are all sinners before and after we're saved. And that's what John's trying to get across. The first verse 8 says we're all sinners. If you believe you don't even have sin, well, you can't even get saved. But if you believe you've not sinned, if you believe you've reached a point where you don't really have a problem with sin anymore, the Word is not in you. So what's the answer? Verse 9. One of the most important verses in the Bible for Christians. Confess. Confess our sins. How often? Not once a week, like a certain group teaches. Saturday night, you go and tell all the sins you can remember to a person. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says there's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That He's our mediator and He's the one we need to be confessing to. How often? As often as we sin. So what, every 5 minutes? Whenever we sin, confess. Confess, confess, confess. Never believe you have not sinned. And of course, the unsaved, if they believe they've never sinned or don't have sin, they can't be saved. But we know we've sinned or we wouldn't have gotten saved. And we also know that we do sin. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that and guides us. And He shows us the answer. Confession. Confess our sins. Let's pray.